Talk Shoe.
Recorded live.
Yes, sir. Once again, this is Speak It Like You Think It Radio. I'm your host, Naj Know-It-All. And I'm joined today by two experts on sports, man. I'm talking about people who watch games, watch the tapes, and know what they're talking about. I got Naughty Dread from 790 The Zone. You know him from the Two Live Stews. What's up, Naughty?
What it do, man? East Side all day.
All right. And I'm joined by my man Coltrane from Guard Your Grill Boxing, boxing expert, and also a sports connoisseur. What's good, Trane?
Oh, man, I think you're giving me too much credit there, man. But I appreciate the love and respect, man. Thanks for having me on.
All right. Oh, yeah, man. Let's get into this NBA talk, man. The first thing that's really hitting me in the head, man, is the boy Josh Howard, man. This boy Josh Howard had a bad month, man. Just overall life, man.
He had a bad year. I mean, when
it started in the summer.
I mean, it depends on what context you're talking about. Because I mean, when you look at the fact that he made about $8 million,
right.
Maybe a little bit more than he had all right year. But I mean, as far as a basketball or media public relations standpoint. Yeah, he did have a bad year, starting off with the whole national anthem thing that he did at that charity event when he would, like, forget the anthem and forget Obama and all that. And then the whole, he was smoking weed. He told Michael Irvin he was smoking, everybody smoked weed in the league. I mean, he had to get out of Dallas, and then with the whole injury, you're right.
Yeah, it just went from bad to worse, man. For one, he got traded to Washington during the worst winter storm ever. Then he gets there. And a story comes out that he was too drunk to play during a game. Mark Cuban confirms the story. Then he tears his ACL and he's out for the year, man. All within a
It's a shame, man, because Josh Howard is a talented basketball player, man. You know, and the year that they went to the finals, Dallas, when they could have went up 3, you know, the infamous, they could have went up 3-1 against Miami. And, you know, if that happens, and they go ahead to win the NBA championship. I wonder, you know, how his career turned out. You know, sometimes some guys, some athletes, you know, when everything's going well for them as far as in their profession, you know, it kind of transfer over into their personal life. But in this situation, it was kind of like vice versa. Not saying that he wouldn't have done the stuff that he did, but it's always interesting to see how success, you know, just change things, you know what I mean?
Yeah, I agree when you say, you know, sometimes that a person's, how their personal life is going can reflect how they're playing in the games.
Yep.
You know, the mindset that they have going into the game, I mean, as far as being off the field or off the court, it does affect how a player perform on the field or on the court. So, you know, sometimes you kind of can feel that a player is going through something by how they're performing.
Mm-hmm.
And so even though when he got traded to Washington, he instantly started putting up numbers. I mean, Washington won like 3 straight.
Yeah, young
so,
athletes
I mean,
running.
He got
I mean,
game. He can. You know, he could play. Like, there's no doubt about that. I just think these guys, man, when they get on these spiral out of control roller coasters, if you will, it's like nonstop, man. Once it goes, it kind of just keep going.
Yeah,
you know,
domino
who
effect.
Knows what's next? Exactly. You know what I'm saying? Like, this dude, like y'all said, it's just been going on for, like, 2 years now. You know what I mean? With the whole national anthem and all that stuff. And, just my personal opinion about that whole national anthem thing. I think we all grew up in the inner cities. You know what I mean? We all come from the slums. And, you know, you most cats is going to say that. Not in person. You know what I mean? Most people
exactly. Is
going to turn their nose up at it. Y'all know how it is. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
You know, most people understand what we're saying, but, you know, this is kind of how we come through. And people going to feel that way about that song. But, you know, what happened was when you become a public figure like he is, you know, you just got to be mindful.
Exactly.
You know, what you say and who you say it around, you know what I mean? Especially with the camera phones
and
all that stuff.
Yeah,
exactly.
Your neighborhood should instill within you enough game about yourself to know where that comment is appropriate and where it's not.
But it don't.
Right.
The neighborhood,
right.
Is not, you said it should, but
right.
It don't. Because we grow up really not understanding the game Totally, because I know in my situation at least, like, and the people I grew up around, we were lied to all our life.
Mm-hmm.
You
right.
know, we were told they were trying to hide us from the truth of what they figured would hurt us or what we didn't need to know. And so it went until we got of age where this stuff started hitting us in the face, and we're like, oh, this is the reality of it. You
right.
know, I'm thinking things different. You know, they
right.
always said, what did you do? Everybody want, I'm going to graduate high school, I'm going to go to college on a scholarship, and then I'm going to be this and that. I'm going to get a job doing this. But it don't work like that.
Right.
So, you know, and I think that this is pretty much going on in the black communities because, you know, Caucasian community, they grow up understanding this stuff. You know what I'm saying? The foreigners come over here understanding certain things. It's just we don't really understand it until it hits us in the face because we've been lied to ever since we were kids.
But I would expand on it and say I would say it's more a poverty issue than a black issue. I would say in the poor white communities you get the same thing. That's where you get
yeah.
guys like John Rocker, you know, who didn't know that those comments would turn into what it did for him. You know what I mean?
So I can agree with that.
Yeah, I would say it's a.
I forgot all about him. Forgot about John Rocker.
See, forgot all about the guy.
Wow.
That quick.
Yeah. Forgot about him, man. Funny boy, more.
But getting back to the league, what are you guys' feelings about T-Mac? Looked good the first run, but afterwards it's been kind of so-so.
Man, T-Mac is a loser. I mean, on the court. Now, off the court, I ain't got no beef with him off the court. You know, I think he might be a pretty cool dude. You know what I'm saying? He might be a humble dude, got a nice little heart. But on the court, nah, he can't get it done. Never could.
Never made it past the first round.
Nah, he can't get it done. Never could. He just ain't.
Yeah.
He's
it's
a loser.
Funny it's funny because I remember not too long ago, people was, you know, you had some people that were saying he was better than Kobe back when he was hot. And, you know, the whole clutch situation, like y'all just said, he couldn't, you know, get past the first round. He was up 3-1 against Detroit.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, Tayshaun Prince had his coming out party that year. And they put him on T-Mac. Not saying he put the clamps on T-Mac, but, you know, Tayshaun was able to disrupt
yeah.
him a little bit.
Mm-hmm.
Detroit won that series, and his career ain't been the same ever since then. You know what I'm saying? Detroit goes on to win the championship. Their franchise changed forever. Well, not right now, but,
yeah.
you know, back then, you know what I mean? But, you know, T-Mac is just one of these guys, man. He, you know, I think he had some success. I think he had one time he was a great player.
He was scoring champion and all that.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You know,
he put 62 up in a game. I mean,
yeah.
two feet.
He's an old 30-year-old.
Yeah, the truth is, I mean, when he was at his prime and saw athletic ability, he could do more than Kobe. I mean, as far as that go, yeah, he should have been better if he had heart.
Mm-hmm.
Right.
That mental is
funny
as important as a physical, man.
Yeah,
yeah.
No, that's the thing. Like, you know, like, you know, you got a guy like Kobe, you know, people, like I always tell people, and I told you this before, you don't have to go out to dinner with these guys. You don't have to like them. But, you know, I like guys that got killer instincts on the court or in the ring, on the mount, or on the football field. I can't stand passive aggressive athletes. You know what I'm saying? And
exactly.
McGrady, in my opinion, same thing, not to switch gears, but I thought that with Garnett, too, when he was in Minnesota. Like,
he was.
I like athletes who hate to lose rather than love to win. You know what I'm saying? And to me, that's what defines the great ones, from the good ones, you know?
Well, the great ones hate to lose. Like, John, they hate to lose, but I think the guys like KG, they love to win. But
right.
if they lost and it was – but they played how they thought they should have played, then it's okay. But I agree with you. When KG was in Minnesota, and I watched those games, I watched KG. When it was the last 4 minutes, 5 minutes of a game where a superstar supposed to take over and be that dude, he was out there sending picks at the top of the key. You send
right.
screens at the top of the key. You need to be down on the block getting the rock.
Giving the ball to Troy Huston.
He was
giving the ball up to Troy Huston.
Yeah.
The
Exactly. He's taking that 17-foot jumper from the elbow. I'm like, come on, KG, get down on the block.
Yeah.
You know, but him and Chris Webber was another guy like that. You can dominate if you just get in the post. I know you can hit the jump shot at the top of the key. Okay, do that in the first few quarters. But in the fourth quarter, go to your bread and butter. Go where you getting your money, your contract at. Well, I'm pretty sure it should be somewhere in your contract that say you need to go on the block at least 8 times a game. That was it. See, Rasheed Wallace need to put that in his contract too. You need to go on the block at least 8 times a game, and you don't get paid that game.
I hear that.
Yeah.
And it's what's interesting is the two guys you guys named, the biggest faults that they had in their basketball careers was each of them never developed a go-to move in the post.
And right.
It showed in the fourth quarter, like you guys said. It showed in the fourth
quarter. Well, they had go-to moves in the post. They didn't go to them. That's my problem. Like, I know Chris Webber had moves in the post because he was killing folks in the post. You couldn't stop him. I know KG got moves in the post. Always had moves in the post.
He gave it up to Hedo Turkoglu and he shot an air ball. You know what I'm saying?
Exactly. That's what they're doing wrong.
And you know, not to get off topic, but it goes to show you in sports how that song with Eminem go, you got to lose yourself, your opportunity, you only get one chance to blow because you never, ever know when you're going to get back to that game again. Look at the Sacramento Kings. After that, they went to that Western Conference Finals with the Lakers. That whole thing imploded after that. That's why you got to seize your moment because you don't know what can turn from a championship.
Exactly.
One championship can turn to multiple. The least if it don't, you got that one. You know what I mean?
Every season.
You got to seize the moment.
Every season you play, you only got – it's just that team. That team don't go over the next season because next season somebody ain't going to be on that team. You're going to add a piece. You're going to take away a piece. So now you got a whole nother team.
Right.
So while you in the moment of playing with that team that you're on at that moment, that's the team you got to win with. This is your best shot at the moment to get it done. Or else you ain't going to get it done.
And real quick, like when Melo played last week against LeBron, and everybody always say, like, well, I want Melo to bring it like that every night, like he brought it against LeBron. LeBron bring it like that every night.
Yeah,
and I think LeBron, Melo do, but not like he did when he played. If he do that like he did against LeBron in the Lakers series, because to me, I thought he ran out of gas in that series. They're in a championship. Because I think if Denver gets to the championship, they can get a ring. You know what I'm saying? I think that they could beat anybody in the Eastern Conference in the playoffs. You know what I'm saying? I just believe that.
Yeah, I think Carmelo took a huge stride last year. You know, for he never got out the first round of the playoffs the last year.
Right.
So, I mean, then you know, but like you said, at the end he looked like he ran out of gas, and so you seen this year, Carmelo came into this season in the best shape of his life. I mean, he looked like he slowed it down a little bit. He looked like he's ready to go for the long haul. So, when you got teams like Denver, the Lakers, the Cavs, Boston, even the Hawks, you know, Dallas.
Yeah, wait.
If you don't get it done, then that's something that's on your resume, on your reputation. You ain't get it done. You had a scar. So that's how you build your legacy. This is why Kobe that dude and Tim Duncan that dude, because when they had scores, they won it all.
Mm-hmm. And what you're saying is kind of getting into my next question. So I'm going to get it out there from both of y'all. What are the elite teams in the NBA to have a chance at a ring this year?
I think my man just laid it out. I think you, Nas, I told you
earlier
in the season.
I wouldn't put the Hawks. I don't think the Hawks are contenders. Unless they can get a big man. If they can get Ilgauskas to sign with them instead of Cleveland somehow, then I'll put them up there. But, you know, we don't have a big man in Atlanta to contend for a championship. But all those other teams are contenders. The Celtics ain't contenders either. They old. They done.
They are, yep, and I told Naj, you know, that at the beginning of this season.
Yeah. Cleveland, yeah. Orlando, Dallas. With the move they made to get Caron Butler and Brendan Haywood,
they got Hood. They had to get some. Look, had to get Hood around Dirk.
Exactly.
Dirk is not going to win in the clutch. We already proved that. You know, when they put Haslam and Posey and they start getting physical with him, he went back to, you know, he went back overseas. He was shook. You know, they realized, he's a great player. He's like one of the best 7-foot dudes I ever saw play the stuff that he can do, big as he is. But, you know, in the clutch, man, you know, you need some scrappy cats around him. And I thought that was a big move with Dallas. Again, Brendan Hayward, Stevenson, and all them cats, Butler and all them guys, you know what I'm saying? You know Jason Terry bringing it every night. You know what I mean? Yeah, but I don't think they get there.
See, Dirk is like all these other big men I've been talking about with the C-Wells and the KGs. You know, he even took KG. He had to get with Paul and Ray Allen for it. I mean, he couldn't just get it done. And that's because, like you say, Dirk is a 3-point shooting big man. He want to shoot the ball.
I mean, he create his own shot, which is a tremendous thing to be that big.
Easy to create your own shot when you're 7 foot and you can, at the end of the day, you can shoot over your man. It's hard to get angles to block his shot. I mean, it's a skill he worked in, as far as his footwork goes. And I give some credit that he's a great scorer, but at the end of the day, he has no post game. Now, early in this season, he started going to a little post game. I was watching. I was impressed. I was like, okay, if he can do this, then they can probably win, because you can't stop him. He's 7 foot and he can turn around and shoot. You know, you can't stop that. But now he's going back to the jump shooting and the trailing for the three. This is not. You can't win that way. You're not gonna win at all that way.
The problem is past Lakers and Denver. And I'll say they could beat either one of them in a 7-series. Like, you know, and if Denver Lakers get knocked off on the way up, then, yeah, they can get there. But, that, you know, that you're talking about a stretch. Both teams going to get knocked off. Like, I don't see that happening.
Portland rising up, and,
it can happen.
It can, but in basketball, you don't see. So in football, you get these upsets, but in basketball, that's why they switched to the 7-game series.
I mean,
in the first round, because the 5 games, you could luck up and beat a 3. It's hard to beat a team 4 times in a row.
We saw Golden State beat Dallas 4 times, the 8 seed being the one seed. But I mean, even beside that, I mean, I just think. I don't think you'll really see it in the East, because the top 4 teams are just so much better than the top lower four teams. But in the West, when you're talking about your lower 4 seeds, Utah might be one of them teams. Kevin Durant, Oklahoma, they're playing real good. They might be one of them teams. San Antonio might be one of them teams. Phoenix with Nash and Lamar might be one of them teams. You can get bumped if you don't bring your A game every night in the West, in the playoffs. You can get beat 4 times by one of these teams. So you got to bring it in the West. It can be some upsets, and I expect it to be an upset or two.
They got a shot, but the thing that kind of kills it is Chauncey Billups is in the locker room in Denver, and Kobe Bryant is in the locker room.
And that's what I'm saying. If it is, let's just say for instance, the Lakers get knocked off by But it would have to be like a whole lot of stuff would have to go wrong. Somebody got hurt. I just can't see in a 4-game series. With all them pieces the Lakers got, you know what I'm saying? Because these teams are built for the championship. That's why I kind of this is my real quick. Let me just go on a real quick tirade. This is my beef with today's NBA. You know, I grew up, you know, watching from the 80s and the 90s, great basketball every night. They getting it in. Now, man, like if it ain't certain teams that's playing, the disparity of competition is so far in between. It's not even funny, like you said, like in the East. It's just 3 teams. That's it. Like, the drop-off is so dramatic, you know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
And it's like these teams, it's hard, like, for these teams to be focused for 82 games. You know, Doc Rivers even said they just want to get to the playoffs because these dudes, they know they're so much better than the cats they got to play. They just want to get to the playoffs and try to get to the championship because these 8 teams, the four in the East and the 4 in the West, is built for the – well – 2-3 in the West is built for the champion, you know, for the late haul. You know what I'm saying? So it's tough, man. It's just the way the NBA. It's a bad product, bottom line.
I mean,
it's
not really.
I mean,
I think the NBA is getting back to a level where it's great right now. I mean, you got so much young talent, and you got some guys who are at the peak of their game, like Carmelo, Wade, LeBron, Bosh, Dwight Howard. Then you got the legends in Duncan and Kobe. I mean, you got the D Rose is coming up, the Chris Pauls, Darren Williams. I mean, it just Tyree Evans and Curry. I mean, it's just so much talent out here right now. And like you say, it's an 82-game season. And a lot of times, the last 2 years, you've seen Boston kind of struggling in the first round because their older legs get rusty, and these young legs like the Bulls and the Hawks can push them in the playoffs. They actually are getting better because they're developing their game. They're still rising,
but
some of the older teams have already peaked out.
Yeah. But see, you brought up a good point. You said it's a lot of stars. I'm not arguing that. There is a lot of stars. That's true. What I'm talking about is not a lot of good teams in the league. Like right now, case in point, like if I wasn't up doing this radio show, there's no way I'm watching Denver play a Golden State team that's got only 19 wins in the season. They hype these dudes on Golden State up, and then I didn't even know what they were. I looked at the record. I was like, are you serious? You know, the league, like in football, they don't do that. Like, it's more about the team versus the star, you know, and that's, to me, that's the NBA. It's a plus and a minus in the NBA when they do that. Like, it's good to hype your stars up, but at the same time, it kills the product in the end. You know what I'm saying? Like, everybody trying to find the next Kobe and LeBron, and to me, that killed the league.
Well, I mean,
the two big things that allow this to happen are basically this. There are probably too many teams in the league right now. There's probably two teams too many. They need to drop two, really. But besides that, I agree with Nadia on that, man. I'm a basketball fan first before anything else. So I'll watch a Golden State or whoever just to watch the young players develop and see what they do. But yeah, we do need to do something about the whole idea of salary dumping and a team just basically, you know, throwing in the towel early season saying wait till next year.
Right.
Well, I don't think they got two teams too many. I think the problem is that college rule where you got one and you can come out. I think they need to make these guys go to school 2 years and really get some coaching and learn how to play. But at the same time, when you're allowing young players to come in like that, somebody got to go, and it's usually some veteran who probably can still play within the system, and it makes the game look more organized than when you got a lot of young guys who just really running around like a bunch, like a chicken with the head cut off. Got talent, but don't know where to get it on defense, or don't know what spot you're supposed to be in on offense.
You know what's the problem, too? Back in the day, like, you was able to keep teams together. Like, role players got role player money. Now you get a guy like Andre Iguodala, you know, in my opinion, is a third option as a basketball player. But you're giving him a max contract like he's a superstar. So you can't get mad at Andre Iguodala because he can't create his own shot in the half-court set like a LeBron James because the organization was stupid to give him a max contract. That's not his fault. And you got a lot of these situations going on around the league. Role players, they leave other teams and go get star money. But they're not stars, you know what I'm saying? And that haunts the product, too, you know what I mean?
That's going to be a big argument with this whole CBA thing. They're really going to try to put a bow on that.
Yeah, I mean, they can't put no bow on that. They simply
yeah,
there
ain't nothing they can do with that. That's too late.
Yeah.
That's
the market, you know.
It's possible.
The front office people got to be smarter and make smart decisions. That's why certain teams win on a regular basis, because they're not paying guys who are third-rate, second-rate players that money. It's always the same team that end up losing every year because they're paying. That's the front office problem right there. But remember,
there's only about, I would say, at most 10 real quality GMs in the NBA. There's a lot of nepotism and a lot of – you know, favor for a favor, guys sitting in the GM chair. You got Chris Wallace in Memphis, who gave away Gasol, made that number two pick on Thabeet, who he just sent down to the D League.
The Gasol trade working out now. I mean, but at the same time, Jerry West really pulled the strings for that. And, I mean, that was a favor he pulled for the Lakers.
He was
part of the GM at the time. So he got to eat it.
Yeah, but I mean, but you look at Memphis. They are really one of the surprise teams in the West. I mean, they really turned around. They still got a young team, but with Randolph going in there doing what he's doing and Mark Gasol is improving, I think he's going to be better than Powell because he's tougher than Powell. And then you got Mayo, even though I think Mayo is overrated, and you got Rudy Gay, and I think he underrated. So,
But then the question becomes, are you the new Los Angeles Clippers to where someday you say, damn, they had all those guys on the same team?
Yeah, then they
where everybody wants their contract.
Down there, you got marketing problems. See, nobody's staying in Memphis. I got news. Once these guys, their contract is up, they're out of there. Nobody's staying in Memphis.
I think Memphis can sell because Memphis is a nice area, and people in Memphis like basketball. They support their basketball.
If you're 25 years old and you at the peak of your career and you got a chance to go to either Miami, Detroit, or Chicago, you're going to pick those three cities. From a marketing perspective, you know what I mean?
If you're not winning, I agree, but I think once you get – because Memphis is really a new team, so they ain't really have a history yet.
Yeah.
They don't have a history of nothing. Right now they got a history of really losing from Vancouver, and then they got into a playoffs a couple of years, but they really been losing. So until they build a history of winning, then it's going to have that stigma to it. But at the same time, we see how the Hawks was built. They started off young, you know what I'm saying? They had five good starters, no bench. So now the last couple of years, the Hawks been building a bench, and that's what a team like Memphis is going to have to do. They got a good five. Now, next year and the year after that, they got to work on their bench in order to be contenders because all them top teams we talked about, they all got good fives who we can say, well, we put their five out there, we don't know who will win. But we looking at now the depth of their bench. It's about Lamar Odom coming off with Shannon Brown. It's about, you know what I'm saying, J.J. Hicks and Goskis coming. It's about, you know, Joe Smith and Jamal Crawford. That's what it's about now.
That was the biggest move in the NBA, that Jamal Crawford move, man. And when they signed him, you know, he's the new Ben Gordon. You know what I mean? He's, in my opinion, the best sixth man in the league, Jamal Crawford. He comes in and just put in work. I mean, that was like one of the most significant moves in the NBA in the last 2 years. Atlanta getting him, man.
Yeah,
that was major.
He pulled off a good one with that trade, man, but – like I said, with Memphis, I agree with what you're saying. In theory, if they were to re-sign everybody, they would have nice building blocks to go forward. I still would argue. I don't think it's going to happen. I think Harden's going to leave, and that'll start the effect of leaving.
That was good knowledge you had, Nige, about the Clippers, man. And that's what happens with a lot of these teams. You know, when they either, you know, the little brother in the city that they're in, or they're in small markets. You know, it's like Oklahoma, they going to have trouble. And they, like you said, they're passionate about it.
The Clippers are in a nice market. They're in a big market. They're in L.A. They sell out every night. They profit more than the Lakers do.
It's all Donald Sterling, man.
They lose all the time because they got poor front office people who don't know what the hell they doing. They shouldn't be running the ball club. They don't know.
The Clippers are
Mike Dunleavy. I mean, that's two terrible GMs.
Yeah,
they got
their
management
the
problems with the Clippers.
He's the worst coach.
Yeah.
So that's why he quit coaching. He quit coaching.
Is he a worse coach than GM? That's another question.
Yeah, that's a problem. It's hard to do both.
Right.
It's hard to do both.
Especially when you can't do either one effectively.
But, you know, like he said, a lot of guys want to get paid who ain't really worth getting paid, man. So, they kind of push the market a little bit, too.
Right.
Yeah.
And it's not their fault. You know what I'm saying? Like, these fans, they get upset and they want these people. Like, I listen to sports radio and they're like, why? Listen, he's not made to do that. He's always a role player. He's not a star on the team.
That's
he's a role player.
But
people
they
want him to be a star because they give him star money. You know what I'm saying?
They got to take a page out from baseball, man. We've seen Johnny Damon turn down that first offer from the Yankees, and then he was sitting on the stands waiting on a deal because nobody wants to overpay. That's what the NBA has to become. Somebody's got to be sitting around for a while figuring out where the real market is and not what their agent told them it was.
But the NBA, man, like, you know, people, these managers and these owners, they jump the gun, like we said earlier, because the market indicates they think somebody else going to pick them up. And they'd rather sign him to be stuck with Drake. You know what I'm saying?
Exactly.
Now you're in salary. Look how long it took New York to get out of this nightmare they've been in. They just got out of this nightmare. You know what I'm saying? Like, it takes a while to get out of this stuff, too, once you sign these stupid
contracts. And they're
contracts.
Not out of it until the contracts are signed. They're still not
right.
Out.
Yeah, until they go. I think they're going to get. I think Wave's going there, though.
Yeah.
You think he's going well? You think he's going well?
They going to NY.
Going to New York?
Yeah.
I don't think LeBron is going there.
I don't think LeBron's going there either. I think D Wade.
No, everybody thinks that.
He might surprise everybody and be the one, but I mean, Miami is a nice place to be. South Beach, that's a nice place to be.
Now, only way you can win, you
got
to bring somebody with him.
Pat Riley got to do something to get him straight. Long as Pat Riley
got
to
bring somebody else. Yeah. Well, Stoudemire be a free. See, you got. It's going to be interesting next year, man, because you got all these people, these young guys that's free, you know what I'm saying? So they might be following each other.
When all the money is spent and all these teams have all this extra cap space, who's going to get overpaid then? Because, the money will be there.
Joe Johnson, he going to get overpaid. He going to get a max deal from somebody.
Oh, Joe going to get a max.
He going to get overpaid. And a lot of guys going to get overpaid, man.
Yeah.
A lot of guys going to get overpaid. But, you know, that's how the game go.
Right.
And
I know. Yeah.
I mean, staying within the NBA, man, I just want to kind of talk about Kevin Durant for a second, man. Are you guys surprised at how quickly he's become what he is, or just figured it was a matter of time?
No, I'm not. I'm not. Because I knew he was going to be what he was. You know what I'm saying? From when he was in Texas, I knew he was going to be a button star. You know, I mean, I know it would take for him to grow into a man's body, which he's doing right now because he was, like, kind of a little light in the loafers when he first came in the league. But now that he got getting a little size in him, you know, he going to be one of them guys, man. You know, you talking about LeBron, Wade, and Cole. He is right there. And he's going to continue to be right there. You know what I mean? And I don't think he's going to be in Oakland doing it the rest of his life, but he's going to be one of them guys, man. That guy can do everything on a basketball court.
I think he's going to be in Oklahoma doing it for the rest of his life. I hope so anyway. But the guy has – The whole package as far as athleticism, I mean, like a McGrady, I mean, he can just score with ease. He can pretty much score whenever he wants to. And I think he got the heart that McGrady don't have. You know,
exactly.
I call him the black.
That's the difference.
Right now, he's the black Dirk Nowitzki. That's who he is. He's a big 6'7" guy who can shoot. But he's athletic, though. He can run the floor a little bit better than Dirk, and he can dribble better than Dirk. But at some point in his career, he's going to have to develop a post game in order to take him to where he want to be. Because at the end of the day, that's the league. You know?
Yeah.
That's how it's going to have to be. So until he do that, you know, he won't win a chip. But right now, I wouldn't be surprised if he lead the league in scoring for the next 3 years.
I wouldn't either, man. That two-dribble pull-up is murder, man.
Yeah, I mean,
right.
Hand
right.
In the face, they can't do nothing about it.
Yeah, he can't be stopped. But in the playoffs,
he can run. Yeah, it's a half-court game. Yeah, and it's going to be a half-court game. They're going
from a great defender every play down.
Mm-hmm.
And the lights get brighter in the playoff. Not saying he get bright for him, but, you know, the people that's around you, you know what I'm saying? And it's going to be tough, you know, him to carry a team.
Well,
maybe in the first round. It depends on who they get in the first. I don't know. I think they're defensive right now. So, you know, that 4-5 is a tough place to be in the playoffs. I always say that's the hardest seed to be in, rather than 4 or 5.
In the West, you know, that changes every day because, you know, the third team really so close to the ninth team, really.
Right,
you know?
Right.
I mean, you can win one day and be third and then lose next day and be 7. So, you know, we'll see how it end up. But
the fact that they in the playoffs to me is tremendous.
Yeah,
you know, you're talking about an expansion team. Bunch of draft, bunch of kids on the team that they done piled up, and you know, look what it goes to show you though. If you get that great player and you build around them properly, it can happen. You know what I'm saying?
Exactly. And
that's the one thing. That is the good thing about the NBA versus other sports is you get that dude, one of them dudes, and build around them, your franchise can be turned around quick.
And
you
that's what
I mean?
I was about to point out. I mean, they got Russell Westbrook, who is a damn good player in his own right.
Yeah.
And then, you know, right now, what they gonna probably get bumped, you know, like you said, first round though, they might upset.
Oh, for sure.
They ain't gonna do that, but they gonna get to the playoffs because their management, their front office people are building the team the right way. They drafted a six man this year.
Right,
right.
And J.J. Harden, and he good, and he's gonna be a solid one of those guys who can come in and give you 20 points off the bench. That's what guys mean anyway right now. You got the Jason Terrys, the Jamal Crawfords, and you know you're
right.
Being going. You got people who get paid to do that now. They went and drafted one. I mean, how often do you see a team draft they six man? Because he
right.
can't get no run with LeBron. I mean, with KD out there.
Mm-hmm.
You know,
people starting to realize again how important that position is in basketball. You gotta have a guy that can control the flow coming off that bench.
Yes, sir.
Exactly.
Because those scoring droughts is what kills you. That's what kills you.
And that's why the Celtics, that Nate Robinson thing was big for them. Yeah, the Nate Robinson thing was, not that I think it's going to really change that much, but it do help to get that youth and a guy that, he's an offensive-minded player. So
if they were healthy, it would mean a lot. But if they're not, it's, yeah.
Well, I'm not.
Yeah, I just think the Celtics, their window
period.
Shut, in my opinion.
I mean, I think Nate Robinson is important in case one of them get hurt. Now, I was kind of disappointed that they didn't play him enough minutes tonight like I thought he should have had, definitely when they started to lose the lead. And they needed some scoring. They needed somebody to come in and put up some buckets. And you don't bring Nate in, but when he came in early in the game, you went up 13.
Right.
So I didn't understand that coaching move by Doc Rivers at all, but it is what it is. But that guy can come in and score, man. Definitely on this team, like he and Jamal Crawford are almost in the same situation. They're guys who are bona fide players, never been in the playoffs. This is going to be their first year in the playoffs where we can really see who they are, how good they really are, and are they – championship type players. We don't know that yet, and we're about to find this out.
Yeah, I think we'll see more of the same from Crawford, man. That handle, that's not something you see everywhere. Crawford.
Yeah, I mean he can do that, but it's about winning.
I think he's gonna play good in the playoffs. Basically, what I'm saying, but I think he's gonna do what he's supposed to, man. He's always been a guy who could get his shot whenever he wanted.
Mo Williams, like he came into that situation last year. Everybody
that's a good point.
Kind of knew him from Milwaukee.
That's a good point.
But when
the light got bright
playoffs,
for him. Yeah.
We saw who Mo Williams really was. So,
and I'm glad you said I'm worried. Y'all got to remember, I'm from Philly. I seen this LeBron show. Not to say the AI is LeBron. I seen the 1-on-5, everybody else staring around. While LeBron do his thing, you know, and everybody looking scared to touch the ball. I've seen it with AI. I mean, it works, but in crucial spots. You saw it last week when they played Denver. Nobody wanted to touch the rock. You know, that worries me. That's why they got Jameson, though. They need – because them guys were scared last week.
Exactly.
And that wasn't even a playoff game. You know what I mean? And I used to watch it with AI. Everybody just standing around. You know what I'm saying? And it's like, you know, you got to have a great role players around great players, man. You know what I'm saying? You know,
but you also have to know players' limitations. Like Mo Williams, everybody knows you put a bigger guard on him, it's not going to be as easy. He'll struggle. Unless he's getting wide-open shots, it ain't really much he can contribute. I think Crawford's a different animal, man. That dude,
I mean,
he
can
get in the paint.
He's struggling
and to be fair, and to be fair, Crawford has been not a star, but – he has been somewhat of a more of a recognized player than Mo Williams have. Like Crawford, has been in the limelight a lot more.
Yeah,
you know, Mo Williams
guy who
went
can
from
put up 50, man. That's
right. No,
that's
what I'm saying. That's what I'm saying. He's somewhat of a made dude, and was already somewhat of a made dude in the league when Mo Williams went from from nobody to somebody overnight. You know, going to the next Cleveland situation.
The guy put up. I mean, I like Jamal Crawford. I am a fan of Jamal Crawford, but to be real. I mean, he put up 50 points for three different teams, but and those three teams didn't make the playoffs. He ain't put up 50 for the Hawks, but those three teams never made the playoffs. And another thing, a lot of guys in this league can score 50 if they shoot for 70. Like I was watching him play with those other teams. He was shooting for 70 every. He was shooting for 100 every night. So if he got to 50, then he got to 50. He got to 40. Whatever he got to, he was shooting for 100 every night.
They had no choice, man. He's been on some terrible teams, man.
Yeah, I agree.
Let's get into some NFL, man, before we do anything else. The two big cuts this week, Brian Westbrook and LT from the San Diego, well, Tomlinson from the San Diego Chargers. I ain't going to call him LT. Those are the two big cuts, man. Are you surprised? Or do you think they were the right moves?
No. I'm not shocked. You know, being from Philly with the whole Westbrook situation, we all knew this was coming. You know, he had the $7 million, whatever, bonus, whatever he was due. I knew they wasn't going to pay him that for him to pay, you know, to barely play. You know, he had the concussion thing going on. And they drafted LeSean McCoy to kind of fulfill his role, which he did, you know what I mean? And, you know, it's just the nature of the business, man. You know, the NFL is tough. That's why I don't get mad at these dudes for wanting to get paid. Because, you know, these owners will drop you like a hot potato once they feel as though you can't contribute no more. With Danium, you know, we knew that was coming too as well. You know, his productivity dropped every year. You know, they had the little dude Sproles pretty much taking over his reps. And it's a shame that they never could punch the ticket and win the Super Bowl, man, because to me, they've been the most talented in the league, but they just couldn't put it all together to win, man. And now, you know, who knows if LT ever win the ring, man. It's a shame because he was a great – he was a great player, and it's a shame he ain't getting a ring to go with that, man.
You know, a lot of times, you know, and I see this on Twitter a lot, and all they cut LT and Westbrook because of the money and because of this and the ownership. But the truth is, if we were starting a franchise on Madden and we played one season and then we got 730 yards out of LT or Brian Westbrook kept getting hurt because he was getting old, his attributes falling off, we'll probably be ready to draft another running back and cut our ties, you know what I'm saying? And that's us on the game. So,
right.
I mean, you can't blame them for doing it in real life, but I think Westbrook should be done. I don't want to see him play no more because it's healthy.
Concussion,
right. I agree with you.
Falling off, man. Concussion, that's serious, man.
Yeah, exactly. But as far as LT, man, I really think he'll be a good fit in Philly behind McCoy in the red zone. Philly can't punch the ball in the end zone. At least he can punch the ball in the end zone. And I think he'll be a good backup fit in Philly. But I think LT got probably two, maybe three more years of solid backup work. You know, maybe a 500-yard rusher, 600-yard rusher, but nothing more than that, you know.
Yeah, I agree. Did you turn the channel or could you watch the snot bubbles from LT, man? When the crying man was a little
no crying in football rule. Yeah, I think he's an emotional guy though. I just think that's him because he got that in him. Because I remember one time he flipped out over Belichick, the Patriots coach.
Yeah,
and I thought he got a little tooed up in him. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
You know, I mean, I didn't really care what Belichick did. I guess he was mad because they lost and, you know,
right. Whatever
happened in that situation. But then I remember one time he had the raincoat on. You know, he wasn't talking to nobody when they lost to somebody. They was playing – I think it was the Patriots, matter of fact. They was playing in the playoff.
Yeah.
And he just wanted them he's a different dude, you know what I'm saying? You know, some of these cats, you know, he probably been pampered his whole since he was two. You know what I mean? Not saying it's making it right, but, you know, these guys are emotional, man.
The crying I can excuse, but the raincoat situation I can't excuse. If you can't
you like
come
that
out
either.
There, that's okay, but at least be rah-rah to the teammates.
Yeah,
the playoff
I lost respect for him after that, man. I thought he was a rider, but after that, like, I lost total. You got Phillip Rivers playing with a broken leg, whatever
exactly.
He had
that's
going on.
That's when I lost respect, yeah. That's when I lost respect when Phillip Rivers played with that ACL or that MCL he was playing with that was gone, and LT on the sideline like a little BI and it's a playoff game, guys getting it all they got. This might be our only chance. And I didn't like that. I
tell you what though, man, the shelf life of an NFL running back is so short, man. It's like that 9 years went by, so I can't believe it was 9 years. I seem like he just got here.
Westbrook,
he went by so fast, man.
I remember the punt return
when
he really made his name, and then
now all of a sudden,
that quick is over.
The shelf life, man, is so crazy, man. It's like, and when I was watching the Vikings, I said, yo, Adrian Peterson probably got like two more years to run, especially him, because the way he runs, it's a wrap.
Yeah.
Gonna be a wrap for these running back is a physical position anyway. They take the most abuse on the field.
Yeah, the average football career is like 3 years. I mean, when you total it all up, but
right.
I mean that's how
like
that's
boxing how, almost. It's like almost like
yeah.
boxing, being a running back.
Like you gotta get the hit and run. You gotta get your money now. You gotta get that signed bonus. That's why I have no problem. Like I don't want them to put a rookie salary cap in football. I like it in basketball. You know, baseball, you know, they kind of do their situation the right way how everybody would want it because they pretty much own their players for the first 6 years.
Arbitration.
So they, yeah, they
arm,
own their
right.
players for the first six
yeah.
years anyway.
Mm-hmm.
And if you ball out,
yeah.
then you're going to get a little bit of what you're worth. And
right,
you
exactly.
go to the free agency when you're really that dude. But I like how they system work. But in football, because the shelf life is so short,
it's shelf
you're playing
life.
College – that's you marketing yourself to get bread.
Right.
Performance is really what you – that combine is you marketing yourself to get bread because once you get in the league, your first contract might be your only contract. So
might be your only
hit.
One.
Yeah, you
yeah.
got
to
hit.
You want to get paid.
Yeah, you
right.
got to hit.
And y'all speaking about running back shelf life, the Jets asked Thomas Jones to take a pay cut, man.
Well, that mean they're going to cut him. You know what I'm saying? So
this
it's
is
like,
the second time this has happened to him. This is how the Chicago situation
this,
played out when he got moved out of town.
Okay.
And
I still think,
well.
Productive back,
yeah.
got him to the AFC Championship game.
Yeah,
okay, he deserves
I mean?
A lot of credit for that.
That's what he did last year. That don't mean that's what he's going to do this year. So
hey,
he
what
Glanville
say, not for long. That's what
exactly. So if you want to be on that team next year, then you need to take a pay cut. Because
the NFL,
that,
man. The NFL
got to go
is
Sean Green.
You know, one thing about the NFL, they're not like – it ain't like basketball where they're going to, you know, kiss your backside to stay. They will cut you in a heartbeat.
Hey.
You know, the NFL, they're more into their system than their players.
Right.
Exactly.
And they have to be because that's the way no,
that's true.
Paid. They
yeah.
have to be.
Yeah.
And I talking about Thomas Jones, man, it's hard to feel sorry for a dude that got Megan Good at the crib, man.
Yeah.
Oh, I ain't know. No, I don't like him now. I'm mad. You should have told me that not.
I don't
like him. I ain't going to bat for him no more.
Yeah, I don't feel sorry for none of them. Because ain't none of them having any jobs. You know?
I ain't know that, Nas. I'm irked by that.
Yeah, he got making good, man. He doing something.
Wow, he got the goods. Yeah.
That's what's up right there.
Yes, sir.
As far as we talking about football, man, as far as coaches, is there a coach you think that would be bred for, like, you could see leading somebody as far as the Army or the corporate world? Is there a coach who you would pick out and say, I think that guy could get it done, whether it was CEO somewhere or, you know, some type of general with the idea of taking an area or something? Like, who would you put your money on?
The guy I got in mind, he's not really a coach no more. I mean, he is the coach, but he ain't really at a coaching position. But I say Bill Parcells. Bill Parcells.
That's a good one.
Anyway.
Nah, people are running through a wall for Barcell, man.
Motivator of men all day.
Yeah.
I would say the New England Bull, too, Belichick. And the reason why I say that about him because – you know, he's a good strategizer, you know what I'm saying? And the Army is a good one because the other people don't have to like you, but the guys that's reporting to you and going to war for you, if they love you and respect you, you know, that's what's most important about leading, you know what I'm saying? And those dudes that play in New England, long as the money ain't an issue, they love playing.
I just don't know if he'll do good in the corporate world if he had to go in a suit and tie and be in the office.
Oh, no, he's not.
I think Parcells can switch it off, and he can. I think Mike Shanahan probably could do it.
Yeah.
You know,
Mike Shanahan's a good coach, man. He got a raw deal, and people starting to see now that Cutler's hard to deal with, you know what I'm saying?
Yeah, but give Cutler some weapons, and we'll see. Like, for now, we got to wait till he gets some weapons, really, to – make a real, case against him, man. I got
to
see what he does.
I think he's trying to be a gunslinger too much, man.
Weapons. Everybody made their judgment on Mike Vick. He ain't never had no weapons.
Exactly.
He still
look at McNabb.
I didn't make no judgments. I seen what Vick was going through.
But I'm saying a lot of people, I'm talking about the public, the mass people made a judgment on Mike Vick, and he ain't had no talent. It was just him.
He had nothing. He had nobody.
let's keep it 100 with the Michael Vick situation. Arthur Blank back then was a little too involved. He got a guy running that that old Broncos system with those little linemen and a West Coast offense, everything that Vic doesn't do well, short, accurate throws with a small offensive line, so where he had a pass rush before he got to his second step on his drop. It was a terrible situation, man, those last couple of years.
Oh, we saw with Randall. We saw that same movie already with Randall, where you got an athletic dude that can do anything, and the defense was pretty much the focal point here, and they just told Randall to make plays.
I never seen
that was our
Mike
offense.
Vick before, man. I never seen that to the day like Mike Vick and no quarterback. I mean, Randall was taller. Randall was fair, but he wasn't as fast, and Mike was shorter.
Oh, no, I didn't say he wasn't fair, but at that time, we never saw nothing like Randall back then either.
Oh, yeah.
We never saw a quarterback coming to do what Randall was at.
Yeah, Randall was new, too, but Mike Vick was like Randall 3000.
Right.
Oh, yeah, no doubt. He was up to the next power. I'm just saying, like, the whole thing was it wasn't no system in place.
Yeah,
like, it was just make a play.
Well,
that's it. That was the offense.
They had a system in play. We seen Mike Vick playing two systems. We saw him play in Dan Reed's system, which was a pro-style offense. Well, when things broke down, Mike Vick ran and made plays. And that's where Mike Vick got to play it if he want to win a chip, because you can't stop that, man. He's like a wildcat. Like you said, a wildcat originator. At that point, you can run 70 to 80 yards up the field because everybody covered man-to-man. If they zone, you pass, and he can get the ball there. Okay, he ran that system. Then he ran that West Coast offense system that Greg Knapp set in place. And Alex Gill ran that little small offensive line, you say, but it was a good system. The only problem with it was you didn't have no right receivers who could catch the ball because the Falcons led the league in rushing 3 years in a row, and by a huge margin over the second-place team.
They
great
did,
system.
But that was with Mike's rushing yards added to it. And
yeah,
also,
you're right.
They could not get third and short. So
well,
if you're the number one rushing team, you should be able to pick up third and short.
Well, I agree.
Fail time and time again on it, man.
I agree with that. T.J. Deckett wasn't getting those inches that he should have been getting. But at the same time, like I'm saying, they ran clock. We owned time of possession. We owned the Falcons, owned the rushing yard. Only thing they were missing was they didn't have a defense, and they didn't have a wide receiver who could catch the ball if it hit them in their hand or their chest.
Right.
That was the problem with the Falcons. If they had that, they might have a chip.
I still think he's wrong for that because he's such a big play quarterback. I like him, like in Dan Reed's offense, he had a lot of big plays during that time. Those big plays were cut in half running that West Coast thing, and they had that one good year. But besides that, man,
I agree about the whole West Coast thing. I always felt that about McNabb. Don't put these guys, and that's why I like with McNabb. I think some of it is fault, but a lot of it is the coaching that's around him. You know the guys in Akron. Why would you have them playing in a West Coast system, making intermediate throws? Like, you know, I never get that. It's played to his potential and his strength. You know what I'm saying?
McNabb is accurate, but McNabb fell the same victim that most black quarterbacks fall to. They don't have wide receivers, but you saw when they gave him a wide receiver, they went 15-1, went to the Super Bowl. When they gave Cole Pepper a wide receiver, they went 14-2. I mean, they went 15-1. They lost to the Falcons. But you give them a wide receiver, they can make something happen. But they don't get wide receivers. Think about all the black quarterbacks and then try to think about who they wide receiver were.
Yeah, they never had the weapons Peyton and Brady and other guys have been able to play with. Yeah, that's definitely true.
So they got to win on their own, either on their legs or on their arm. It's on them.
And we're seeing the great Greg Knapp, who I would say ruined Michael Vick. We're seeing him out in Oakland right now with the last couple of years messing with Jamarcus Russell.
Yeah, he went to Seattle. Then he went to Seattle and got fired with Jim Morris just in his last season.
Well,
they didn't have a quarterback. I mean, they were banged up. And I don't think Jim Morris was a good coach at all, but at the same time, I think their running game, and I give most of that credit to Alex Gibb and that zone blocking scheme they had. I mean, when you have a Mike Vick, it might be a good idea to try to create plays for him, but we saw him mostly succeed in Virginia Tech and with Dan Reeves when a play broke down and he made a play, and that's what he got to play in. That's how he's the Wildcat originator.
I hope it goes down for him, man.
It will.
Where do you see it going? Where do you see it going for him?
Don't think that he's leaving here. That's not etched in stone. I just want to let y'all know that. Like, it's not etched in stone. He's leaving.
Well, he's got to be stoned sometime soon.
Yeah, they don't know what they're going to do right now here. I'm telling you, like, all three of them cats is on the block.
Yeah, but we're talking about the Eagles. If somebody puts up a third or a second for Vic, they got to take it.
Oh, he out. Well, he out.
Yeah.
Well, he's out.
Yeah.
But I don't think somebody's giving that much up.
He's
I think the McNabb would probably get a higher pick than what Vic would get.
I'm
going to tell you like this. Mike Vick is the best quarterback y'all got on that team right now.
And that's why, and let me tell you something, I think they know that. You know, I think they want to test the water, get him out there, get all that dog protesting stuff out the way, which is gone, you know what I'm saying? And now, you know, people only care about football right now, and they got that part over. I think this is what I think is going to happen. I think they're going to trade McNabb, Vick stay, and Cobb. They're going to fight for the job, you know, come September.
That would be interesting.
I don't think that's gonna happen. I think McNabb gonna stay. If McNabb gonna stay, Cobb gonna be the starter, and he gonna be the Mike Vick. I think he out either way it goes, because they did what they wanted to do for Mike Vick. They helped him get his feet that way and get in the league. But if they really were smart, just like Arthur Blank, if he really had been smart, he would have just waited 2 years for Mike Vick. You got a player who nobody has ever seen a guy like this before, ever.
Yeah, but
people forget, because he went to jail. They forget his last season. He threw for 20 touchdowns, rushed for 1,000 yards, with the first quarterback to rush for 1,000 yards. And people forget that.
With a terrible
O-line. But you know, it's a business. And, I mean, y'all are more close to the situation than I am, but you know it's a business. He had to do a public relation damage control.
Not really. I mean, they created.
I mean, look what he drafted.
I know, but they created a public relation. And Mike Vick owned this city. Matt Ryan can't sell out the stadium now. The only game they sold out, they sold out two games, but the first game they sold out was when Mike Vick came down here with Philadelphia. And that was the game they sold out. Mike Vick can come down here right now and sell out the dome. Season tickets gone. They got to wait this.
Oh, he put the bird on the mat.
And he can still do it now.
I'm gonna give y'all a quick little story, man. I went to TJ Maxx yesterday, you know, going to look, see if they got a couple polos or something in extra large. You know, they never do. But while I was looking, they had jerseys in there, old jerseys. They had a Mike Vick jersey in there for $10 and a Matt Ryan jersey in there for $7.99, man. I mean, that says it all, right?
Big.
I'm talking about a Falcons Vic jersey, an old Vic jersey.
Yeah, that's the most, that's a classic hood jersey right there, that number 7 Michael Vick jersey. I'm talking about not just in Atlanta, I'm talking about everywhere. That number 7 Mike Vick jersey, ATL jersey, that's the realest jersey you can get. That's like the classic. That's a classic jersey. Like, it can never get old. You can always wear a number 7 Mike Vick Falcon jersey, and you'll be all
right. Right.
And I think
his PR
is going to take a big bump from this Michael Vick Project show. You know, because they're playing it out how they want to play it out, and it's looking good for them.
I was about to say, I think it's helpful. You know, people, a lot of the black community is protesting, like that clown that was talking about he's not serving Michael Vick when he comes down there, but this cat serve all types of mafia dudes that's down there. You know what I'm saying? So this is helping out, I think, in the urban community. A lot of people, like women and some casual football fans that knew nothing about Michael Vick, they're kind of, like, following him along, like you said. So this is, like, really – this is helping. You got some white people that's watching BET now, which is juice for their network. You know what I'm saying? That's following this thing. You know what I'm saying? But I know a lot of white people that I work with, they're following it. I'm sure they never turned into 1-6 in Park or whatever the BET shows they got. But now they are, because Vick's on there.
Yeah,
you know, so it's good. This is good for him, man. You know, the Eagles on a little bonus that they gonna pay him. You know what I'm saying? So yeah, things are shaping up for Vic. You know what I'm saying?
Are they gonna pay him? March 5th? They got Eagles
pay him. Oh, they gonna pay him?
Gotta trade him.
I think they're gonna unless something happen overnight. I think because March 5th next week.
Right.
I think they're going to pay. I'm telling you, man. I
hear Mark Walsh about to be out of St. Louis. They're looking to get a quarterback, and I'm hearing it might be Mike Vick.
Yeah, I hope he don't go there, man.
Oh,
I mean, it don't matter where he
go there.
Man. It don't matter where he go, man. Really, man. If you put the right system in, man, this guy gonna win, man. I'm telling you, I've never seen a football.
Yeah, I would like to see him go to the 49ers. I want to go see him play with Mike Singletary. I want him to be with a certain type of coach, like a Mike Singletary, out in San Francisco. That's already together. They just need a quarterback, and they straight.
I want to see that too, but that's best case scenario. That he might end up in the SL. I hope he don't end up in the same.
I want to see him.
I don't want him in Carolina.
In Carolina, where they got a stud running game, and they got a wide receiver who will catch the ball.
You're talking about signing like Brett Favre coming to Vikings last year. That's serious.
That would be dope.
Go to Carolina.
Yeah. That's where I want to see him at.
I guess he want to go to Tampa. I don't want to see him in Tampa. Yeah.
Some of these veteran teams, though, in the NFL, have the window closed for them, in your opinion, as far as a Super Bowl within the next couple of years? Talking Panthers, Eagles, Patriots even. Has the window closed?
I don't think the window closed for Minnesota. They got a lot of young talent on that team. Like, all them cats is young. They just need a quarterback. And if Favre ain't going to be here, that's why I think McNabb should go. That's like the ideal situation for him. Perfect. They got some guns on Minnesota. Minnesota should have beat the Saints, dog. Like, I think they should have beat them. They was a better team. They should have won that game.
They kept fumbling the ball. They turned the ball over six times and still should have won.
Hey, man, when you don't follow the rules of sports, things happen to you. That's just how it is, man. You let this man come in, skip a training camp, and miraculous fumbles just happen.
The chickens came home to roost on them.
Yeah, man, that's how it goes, man. Lakers team with Gary Payton and Karl Malone, that's how it goes.
Yeah, that's true. Look at the Patriots, yep.
You don't do things right, it just doesn't work for you.
I think in the NBA and perhaps in Major League Baseball, you can have a situation where the window opportunity closed for a certain team. But in the NFL, I think it's more of a window opportunity closed for certain players. I think good run teams, because football, it's easy to replace football, guys, because
true.
The simple fact is all the skills that are used to play football, you learn how to do by the time you're five. You can throw, catch, and run. That's all you're going to do. So that's why you can see a guy go down, Armand Green go down, and then Ryan Grant come up out of nowhere and rest the foot upon him. You see stories like that all the time because it's easy to replace guys. That's why I'm tired of these quarterback rules because we've always seen a quarterback go down and then another quarterback come up. He's a star. He that dude now.
Right.
You know what I'm saying? That's how football's always been. But like I'm saying, that's why I say one of the opportunities close for players that sometimes you get too old or you get injured and your time closed, but they just put somebody else in there, and if they're a good-run organization, everybody didn't get hurt, everybody didn't get old at the same time, but we still got a chance we can win the whole thing, and usually that's how it is. That's why you see a team like, I mean, Peyton Manning is a great player, and that's part of the reason why the Colts win the opportunities up like this, but at some time they're going to have to get up like Green Bay did. They drafted Aaron Rodgers for when Brett Favre left, and now Green Bay is still Green Bay. It's not like now they're in the dirt of the NFC North. They still compete for the whole thing. And that's how good organizations are ran.
That's a good point you made, man. NFL, no windows closed, and they close for players, not teams. That's a good point you made right there, man. Looking at the draft, are there any sleepers you see as far as NFL draft you got? Anybody on your radar you think is going to, sneak in maybe the later rounds or something to make a huge impact?
I mean, it's so, like we talking about football, but like I say, man, there's so many guys who can play. A guy can get drafted in the first round, and a guy can get drafted in the seventh round and be better than the first round.
Mm-hmm.
And so to me, if you're drafted after the second round, you're a sleeper.
Yeah.
Because most of the guys who are in the league now are drafted after the second round. The guys who stick around and actually play, those guys are usually, unless they're the big stars, you are a mega star when you can get drafted off of high potential and you live up to that potential. That's how you become a mega superstar. Other than that, it's the guys who were just working hard and got in there, the James Harris and those guys. The Jesse Tuggers, the guys that don't get drafted and become Pro Bowl linebackers. that's usually how Tom Brady sell around, and now they talking about he the best quarterback ever.
Right, right.
So, I mean, you become a Peyton Manning because you drafted one and you actually did what they thought you were going to do.
Right.
But you don't see that. A lot of times you see Ryan Leaf.
Would you go as far to say as rounds 4 through 7 determine how good your GM and your scouting department is as far as being the most important part?
If you had to break it down, I would say no. I would say the whole draft determines how your GM do, but I put emphasis, like I said, on the first two rounds, because that's usually what teams get it wrong.
And that's where you spent that money.
And that's where you spent that money. You're right. So you need to get it right there. And then let's see if these other guys can pan out. But we need to make sure these guys don't work.
Yeah, because if you're picking in the top 10 for 2 or 3 drafts in a row, your cap is so skewed and so off that it's going to be hard to put a team together. If you're one of those teams constantly drafting top 10, if you get them wrong, it's going to be a long time before you get them right.
You can't do that. You can't survive in the NFL if you're consistently drafting in the lottery, because of some fact that, like we said about these rookies, that's what they're getting the money. They're getting the big bonuses. That goes into the salary cap. That's why you see a team like New England, they'll trade out the third round completely.
They don't even
want no third round draft pick.
In a minute.
We'll just make this third round or fourth round who ain't got no guaranteed bread come out here and work hard, and we'll make him good.
And you hear the people gushing over the first and second pick, but you always hear about they'll listen to offers, but there's never any offers. Nobody wants to get that first, second, or whatever pick because of the amount of money they got to pay.
Look, the only time you should want the first and second pick is if there's a stud running back or a stud quarterback coming out and you need a quarterback or you need a running back. If you don't need that, forget that. Let's trade up. Let's trade down. We don't need to be picking first, second, third, where we can get a linebacker, a safety, a wide receiver, some on down the road and build him up. You know what I'm saying? But if you need a stud quarterback, if there's a Peyton Manning type coming out, if there's a Edgerrin James, a Marshall Faulk running back coming out, you got to grab him. And definitely if you need that. So then it'll be good to have a first, second pick. But other than that, you don't need it. If you already got Peyton Manning on your squad, I don't need a quarterback. So why am I drafting? I don't need this low draft pick.
Right. What are y'all thoughts on Julius Peppers? Where you think he's going?
Where all the money at? He playing for the bread. He made that known. So we don't pay him the bread. That's why it's so hard to gauge where he might go. I mean, you look at some teams who need him. The Falcons could be a team. I'm not even a Falcon fan, but I understand they could use him. Forget that. If he plays 100%, every team in the league could use him.
Right.
So whoever offers him the bread, whoever added up the bread, that's who's going to get him.
And could he have played in the NBA?
As a role player, maybe. He wouldn't have been no star.
Yeah.
He could have been a Corliss Williamson type player. He was all right in North Carolina, but he wasn't as good as a lot of people talk about him. A lot of people hype him up because he was a great football player and he played basketball.
Right.
But he would have definitely been an athlete that, could bite up some guys and probably get some rebounds, and he probably could have made a couple layups, but he wouldn't have been a great player like he's a great football player.
Mm-hmm. And looking at the NBA draft, man, who do you have your eye on that people are kind of sleeping on, man? My sleeper, I'm going the point guard for Wake Forest, Ishmael Smith, fastest man with the ball in the country. Is anybody, who's kind of on your radar who you think might be able to make it as far as in the league?
That's an interesting one right there, because
I know you're an Evan Turner guy. I know that's your guy.
He's not really my guy. I mean, I respect him. He's not really my guy. I really don't have a guy in college right now. I guess Sharon Collins, I like him, but, the game is, there's so much talent, so many guys that can ball, and league, how they draft players and pick players. Like, unless he's a prime-time stud college ball player at a big program, you never know who they're going to get. A lot of guys don't get drafted who you might think supposed to get drafted. Like, I always thought when Marcus Hatton was coming out, like, yeah, he'll be a good pick for somebody in the second round, good pick. You know, you saw some guys this year didn't get drafted. It was like, wow.
Right.
You seen Sam Young on late. You saw a lot of guys where you were like, DeJuan Blair almost didn't get drafted. You like, whoa. You know, because you got so many foreigners come out. And, you know, and as far as the later round, the second round, where it's not guaranteed contracts.
Mm-hmm.
Well, the problem is with the economy right now. A lot of teams I saw this year, definitely in this draft, they drafted guys not to come play right now. They drafted guys to stay overseas, and so they don't have to pay them, but they have their rights if they do come over. And you saw that a lot this year. So,
yeah, that Cleveland pick is the best example. The guy who's not even on the A team of the Euro Club he plays for.
Exactly. So I mean, you see Rubio, guys like that. That he took a draft slot from somebody.
Right.
You know what I'm saying? So it's a lot of guys who can hoop, but unfortunately, if they don't get drafted as a sleeper, then they probably won't get drafted. Like the kid in South Carolina, Downey. He can score with the best of them. He might not go pro because of the circumstances of how the game is right now.
Yeah, and when I look at players, especially in college, man, the main thing I look at is how they get their points. And with Devin Downey, he gets a lot of points in traffic. He hits a lot of real tough shots. And, yeah, like you said, that's something that might not translate
but
to the NBA.
I saw another player like that a few years back at Georgia Tech named Andrew Bynum, who couldn't be stopped. And when he didn't go pro out of college, I was like, what the hell? This guy can hoop. But, you know, he went and worked hard, did a little grinding work, went overseas, did what they had to do, D-League. And now he in the lead, but it took him to do all that when he really was a stud out of college. Got him to a national championship as the man.
Yeah,
he was
slept on, man. I don't know what the hell the GMs were thinking.
I'm saying a lot of guys are slept on.
He's a legend in Chicago, man. Public league, man, that boy Bynum did work, man. All day, every day, man. Everybody knew him and expected, you know, big things from him. So I'm glad to see him in Detroit doing his thing now. We just lost my man Coltrane, man. He said his battery ran low on him.
Yeah, that's cool.
Yeah. So I was trying to wait on him to jump back in, man. But
yeah,
we got to get out of here in a minute, man. We've been running long, man. I appreciate you coming on, man, and sharing your insight, man. Is there anything you wanted to plug, sir, before we got out of here?
Man, just follow your boy at Naughty Dread on Twitter. That's at Naughty, N-O-T-T-Y, Dread, D-R-E-D. So, you know, btwice.net, check it out, BBC Sports. Of course, 790 The Zone, 2 Live Stews, 1 to 4 every day, 1 to 4 p.m. Eastern Time. So, you know, holler at your coach, man. He's out all day, man. Naughty Dread, man.
That's what's up, man. This is Speaking Like You Think It Radio. I'm your host, Naj Know-It-All. I was joined by Coltrane and Mr. Naughty Dread. And we up out of here, man. Thanks for coming on, sir.
All right, man.
All right.
Yeah.
Yo.